The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Hey everyone, welcome to Sex Out Loud and thanks for joining me for another edition. It is Friday, May 29th, 2015. I never say the date, but I decided today to start saying the date. I don't know why. Okay, my guest is a familiar voice, not just because he has been on the show before, but because you hear him each and every week. He is the dark, deep, sexy voice of my announcer, Cooper Beckett.
Hello.
Hey, Cooper. And so I'm going to tell you all about Cooper, and we're going to talk about his really fantastic memoir, My Life on the Swing Set. But first, we've got lots of announcements. Okay, first of all, we're live. So if you've got a question today about swinging, polyamory, which is also a big part of the book, non-monogamy, any of those things, you should call and talk to us at 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. You can also post questions on our Twitter feed at Sex Out Loud Radio. So I recently did this post totally like off the cuff where I was volunteering to give a bunch of bras away because my bra size changed right after I bought a bunch of new Victoria's Secret bras. So they're beautiful bras. They're in great shape. I wore them once or twice. And so I said, hey, you know, who wants these bras? Here's the size. And everyone chimed in. I mean, this post got like more than 100 likes, which is just insane because I feel like I'm blocked on everyone's feed because I posted up material. But everyone was like, you should really auction this off for charity. Everyone was egging me on. And so I finally said last night, okay, I'm going to auction off a bra for charity. I picked out my very best, prettiest bra. And in fact, this bra is part of a set, which has a little mini skirt with it. And when I say mini, I mean micro, and a little G-string. And I put it up and I said, okay, you guys can start the bidding here in the comments section. And then, and it was great because immediately Jessica Drake, a celebrity herself, bid $100. But since Jessica Drake's bid, everyone else has been commenting. They've been liking the post, but no one has bid. Now, Cooper Beckett stepped in, I think just to save me from embarrassment, and bid $110. So you guys have to go. It's on my personal Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Tristan Taramino. You have to click on the picture of the bra, and then you'll see all the comments. And it will be really obvious because there's a few posts where I'm like telling people to do it, but you have to go to that actual original post. And we're giving you a short link, a tiny link on our feed right now on Twitter. So you can follow that. I'm only doing this for a 24-hour period. All the benefits, by which I mean 100%, goes to the Center for Sex and Culture in San Francisco, a really worthy cause. You can write them a check directly so you can get a tax deduction. This is win, 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 win. Okay? So please go bid on my beautiful bra, which has, you know, the whole marketing ploy of this was, it's touched my boobs. Okay. So I also want to remind you that this coming Monday in New York City, June 1st, I'm going to be presenting an award at the Lambda Literary Awards. And it's going to be star-studded Kate Clinton, John Waters, Alison Bechdel. Every queero celebrity you can imagine is going to be there. And you should come too. There are tickets still available. I also want to tell you that Sex Out Loud is the premier sponsor of a fabulous event coming up in July. It's a one-day symposium called Affirming Polyamorous and Non-Monogamous Relationships. It's going to be held on July 24th in Dallas, Texas. Now, there is quite a thriving community of non-monogamous people in Texas, but there aren't a lot of events. And so I'm really excited for this one. It's being put together by Ruby B. Johnson and Sean Chrisman. They're also co-presenting it, offering education and best practices for working with this emerging community. So especially if you are a provider of some kind of health service, if you're a therapist, if you're a doctor, if you're a lawyer, this is for you. This is absolutely for you. So you can become more competent in dealing with non-monogamous people. Also, you don't have to even be in Dallas to do it because it will be broadcast as a live webinar. So to find out everything you need to find out, go to polydallas2015.com. July 31st to August 2nd is the very first edition of Amorous Revolt, a weekend kinky camping retreat created by queers for queers. It's a place for empowerment, growth, and exploration. And of course, lots and lots of play. So you can check out amorousrevolt.com. And this is just all you queers out there. This is going to be a good one. It's going to be a really, really good one. So you should definitely check it out. And I'll be talking more with the organizers on a show coming up. August 4th, I teach anal pleasure at the Pleasure Chest on the Upper East Side in New York City to kick off Anal August. Pleasurechest.com. It's free. You just got to show up early. And then finally, I know Cooper Beckett already has his bags packed for this, but the rest of you should probably get on board and join me and Cooper in Burbank, California, along with some of the top names in the field of sexuality, September 11th to the 13th at Catalyst Con West, which is a three-day conference that was created to inspire exceptional conversations about sexuality, with more than 70 speakers presenting over 40 sessions on every topic from sex education and erotic writing to sex-positive parenting and slut-shaming. It's at the Los Angeles Marriott Burbank Hotel. And for more information, visit catalystcon.com. You can use the coupon code TRISTAN for $10 off registration. And did I mention that we're live today? We are. 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. Let me tell you about our guest. Cooper Beckett is the author of My Life on the Swing Set, Adventures in Swinging and Polyamory. He's the creator and host of Life on the Swing Set, a website and podcast by and for the sexually open. In addition to writing for the site and hosting the weekly podcast about sexuality and non-monogamy, he travels the globe throwing play parties and teaching classes to help people open themselves up and color outside the lines of their sexuality. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Cooper.
Thanks, Tristan, for having me back.
So your book, which I really, really enjoyed reading, Yay. And it is kind of the perfect summer read because the chapters are short and very digestible, mm-hmm. and so I feel like you could read this on the subway, for all my New Yorkers out there. You could read this on the beach, and it's a great read, and you'll laugh and you'll cry, but it's ultimately quite inspiring.
And it can be read out of order, too.
And yes, you can flip around. So this book opens with the story of your first meeting, you and your wife, with real-life swingers. Take me back to that.
Oh, my. It was a really exciting moment in my life because we had decided to open up about a week before. And then we joined Lifestyle Lounge, which was a big site back then. And we put up a profile and we started talking to one or two couples. And one couple sort of bullied us into making a date. And I say that, but the, and it sounds mean and scary, but it was more that we probably wouldn't have made the date because we were still in that, oh, I don't know, it might be cool phase.
Should we? Shouldn't we? Yeah. Should we? Should we?
So they just didn't listen when we were like, maybe in 2 weeks, because they knew we actually wanted to go. We just were being difficult. Mm-hmm. And said, no, we'll make a date. We'll be here at this time on Sunday. You should come meet us. And we went and had this 4.5 hour conversation that was really just so delightful to be talking openly about sex and with other adults, because really there was no outlet for that back then.
And so what people want to know, of course, is did it lead to anything? Did it go anywhere?
Not that night, because they were very cautious with us, saying that tonight we're just going to have a conversation. But then they said, hey, let's get together again next week and, you know, do some more stuff. And so, yeah, we got together with them again and had our first soft swap experience.
You want to define what soft swap is for our listeners?
Soft swap, ostensibly soft swap for swinging, is anything up to and including oral sex with someone who is not your immediate partner.
Okay.
With the swap.
So no intercourse.
No intercourse.
Okay. And is that common that you think swingers kind of start out slow? Like they have the training wheels on first a little bit?
I think with newbies, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so this book, it follows your journey. Mm-hmm. From the very beginning of this first meeting with this couple, and then you eventually swing with them. Through many, many years of swinging and being strongly identified as a swinger, and then maybe redefining that. But one of the things I was struck by in the very beginning of the book is that, this is a quote from your book, you said, "We went looking for a flame, we found a blowtorch." Explain.
Well, you never know what these things are going to do to your life. And most of the time when you start exploring something new, you assume, oh, maybe it'll make things a little bit more exciting. And really what we discovered, we opened that door and discovered our true selves, our real lifestyle. And it was an unbelievable shift emotionally, mentally, with the way we perceive the world even. And that is the blowtorch, because we didn't expect what actually came out of that door.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. And I see as you read through just kind of what a life-altering thing it has been for you, for both of you. So we got to take our first break because, you know, I gabbed at the top of the hour. But listen, if you guys want to talk about swinging or polyamory, is there a difference? Are they two discrete categories? I don't know. You can give us a call and talk to me and Cooper at 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. And stay with us, more with Cooper Beckett, talking about his memoir, My Life on the Swing Set, when we return.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
How do you achieve the utmost success in your life, career, faith, relationships, and more? It's all here in The Business of Living with host Scott Ventrella. Scott has experience as an executive coach, sought-after speaker, and lecturer. He and his guests will offer practical solutions and strategies to help you move to the next level of success, no matter where you are in your life and career. The Business of Living airs live every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We are talking with Cooper Beckett, author of My Life on the Swing Set, Adventures in Swinging and Polyamory. And you may recognize his voice because he just brought us back from the commercial break. He also has moonlights as the announcer for my show, which I'm very lucky and fortunate to have. Cooper, before the break, we were talking about your experience as a kind of swinging newbie.
Yes.
And one thing I learned about you in this book is that you actually like playing with other newbies.
I do.
Explain.
I like the wide-eyed enthusiasm that newbies often have accompanying them. I like that I can provide a safe space for newbies, because I know a number of people who've had really bad first experiences, and I had a good first experience, and I like being able to provide that for people. And I feel like I get off on the conversation. I get off on dissecting how swinging works. So newbies want to talk about that. Newbies want to talk a lot, sometimes too much. But, you know, I've been there, so I understand.
You know, I knew that you were the sort of welcoming force. That's, if you meet you for 5 minutes, you know that. But I didn't know that you took it to that other level, which I think is really great.
It's a mentorship thing, I think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, it's an understatement to say you're a different kind of swinger. You are not a swinger from the 70s, but you are not even a swinger, as I consider, mainstream swingers still going on today, because you break a lot of the rules.
I like the way you sort of massaged the words.
I massage that. Yeah. But you break a lot of the rules, and yes, you also do things your own way. And I want to talk about some of the ways in which you are challenging just even the pure definition of swinger as we know it. And one is that you are an incredible evangelist for safer sex.
Yes, I am.
So tell me, like, when this hit you, because you follow different safer sex protocols than most swingers that I've observed personally at parties, mm-hmm, who use condoms for intercourse, but not for anything else, no barriers for anything else, and sometimes not even barriers for intercourse. You have a different philosophy, and so tell me about that.
Well, I'm a hypochondriac, and I used to spend the week after a new play date getting phantom symptoms of every STI I'd managed to convince myself I contracted, despite the fact that I have extensive conversations about testing, and I play safe, and I watch for things. So I realized that I was spending a lot of my time being stressed out, and I felt that was not a great way to live. And I realized that all I needed to do to dramatically reduce my level of stress was to add condoms for oral sex, dental dams, and I eroticized gloves. And once you eroticize gloves, the safety level skyrockets, and it's hot because you can snap them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I like to say, and I say in the book a number of times, all you have to do is hear the words antibiotic-resistant gonorrhea of the throat, which is a thing that exists in our world, in our country, and is moving. And realize that you have no way of knowing if somebody has that or not, and you don't want it. So why not insulate yourself from that? And the other thing is, you know, everybody talks about herpes as being this big bad, and I really don't think it is. You know, herpes is not a big deal at all. But if you don't have it, you probably don't want it.
Right, right. Exactly. I mean, that exactly. Herpes is a totally manageable thing. And so many people have it. So it's like more likely that someone has it than doesn't have it.
Well, and not only do so many people have it, but so many people have oral herpes, which is cold sores.
Yep.
And they can give that to you generally really easily. I mean, that's... And every time I get into this conversation with the, let's say, the old guard of swingers, I like to say classic swingers, they tell me that if they don't feel comfortable enough to have oral sex with someone without a condom, they just won't do it. And I point out that, you know, it's not just about them. If you have ever had a cold sore, today could be the day you're shedding, mm-hmm. and you could have just put herpes on their genitals. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't live with myself if I was doing something less, as not as risk aware, not as safe as I can, and gave someone something.
Well, I just love your attitude about this. And I feel like you're injecting like a whole new ethos around safer sex, which is like, we can still all respect and trust each other and say, I think you're a good person and a sexy fuck, but why don't we all just as a default practice safer sex? I love it.
We do that at our play parties. We have a default condom rule. Even if you are fluid bonded, if you are having penetrative sex, use a condom.
And do you count blowjobs as penetrative sex?
I'm not restricting people's ability to do that without condoms yet, just simply because I feel like that is the level that I want people to come to because they want to come to it, not because someone's making them.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about another thing that you're really challenging, which is being an open bisexual guy in the swinger scene. So first, back up and tell the listeners what the basic ideas about bisexuality are within mainstream swinging. Let's do that first and sort of set the stage.
In general, bisexual men are not appreciated in the swinging lifestyle. And that's a broad generalization. But if you look at swinging websites, dating websites for any period of time, you'll see something along the lines of, we don't want bisexual men because I don't want him looking at me. I don't want him jumping on me. So the prevailing thought from men in the lifestyle, let's say a little bit homophobic men in the lifestyle, is that suddenly, if I'm bi, I won't be able to resist the staggering drawing power of your straight cock. I will leap on it. And whether you want it or not, I've abandoned all logic about rape or anything.
Consent. Just maybe even being interested in the guy, you know, because you might not be.
I came to this startling realization that I'm surprised I didn't come to this earlier. And I think the problem with bi men is men don't want other men to treat them the way they've always been treating women.
Oh, Cooper, you are talking some crap tonight. Go on.
Because, you know, if you are a guy who always kind of pushes the boundary with women and doesn't quite take no for an answer and feels you can talk someone into sex, the last thing you want is someone doing exactly that with you.
You are like, oh, you are such a shit stirrer. This is so honest. And you're so, I mean, I just fucking love it because you're calling out the misogyny of maybe straight male swingers. You're calling out their homophobia. Mm-hmm. You're like wrapping it all in a nice little package there.
And there are wonderful people who are swinging, who are respectful and all
absolutely.
That. There are wonderful
absolutely.
People.
And so you come along and you figure out that you're bi.
Yes.
And people start actually openly discourage you, like tell you, take that off your profile or no one's going to call you. Is that right?
Yeah. The first couple we ever played with, I thought, why don't I explore this part of my personality? Because my ex, she is now my ex, and we can talk about that. But she explored that part of her personality and discovered that she, not only is she bisexual, but what a fundamental part of her being that is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, well, why would I want to restrict that? I'm opening up. Why not explore? And we met this couple and they said, by the way, you know, he was nice about it, but by the way, you probably won't get a lot of attention if you're listed as bisexual. And so I changed it.
Yeah. But now you're not putting anything back in the box, so to speak.
No, you're
out now. And
the toys are everywhere.
I mean, my question, because I sort of know the answer to it, is once you came out and were vocally bisexual and identified as bisexual, I think maybe you found that there were a lot of other guys who were at least bi-curious in the scene.
Yes, absolutely. And it's by being openly bisexual, because bi men are very marginalized and very muted, you know. So by being openly that, I have found that people are willing to just discuss their vague curiosities. And that doesn't mean that suddenly now we're 69ing. That just means that I've thought about this and now we can talk about this.
Right, right.
And so I like to say that I'm giving people permission to think about being bi by being visibly, openly bi.
But do you feel like you have lost access to some part of the mainstream swing community by being bisexual?
I don't feel that I really have. And the funny thing about it is I'm not sure if I have insulated myself in some way or if I'm part of a weird sort of bisexual podcaster bubble thing that I've got going on. But I have not seen, save very isolated incidents, discrimination against me as a swinger. I've seen more discrimination against me as a bisexual male outside the swing community than inside. And I don't know if it's changing, if it's getting better. I like to think it is. I hope it is. But I encourage bi men in the lifestyle to come out because I haven't experienced backlash. And I hope they don't either.
Well, certainly, I think it is one of the more stigmatized of sexual minorities. Yeah. We've seen that in different communities. We can see it in the kink community. We see it in swing communities. We can see it in queer communities. We can see it in straight, among straight people. So, yeah, I think it's always going to be a target at this point. But maybe you're just choosing your company wisely. Also,
I think that might be part of it.
Okay, we got to take another break, just like that. Hey, do you want to talk about swinging or polyamory or any of this non-monogamy stuff? Well, you've got an expert, two experts on the line. So call us 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788, or post questions on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio. Coming up, we are going to find out about jealousy. Everyone wants to know about jealousy. And how Cooper sort of transitioned from swinger to polyamorous person. So stay with us. More with Cooper Beckett when we come back.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Find on Get Real Radio? Well, quite honestly, who you really are.
Join host James Robinson each week for a program designed to reveal more about yourself and your world through words of wisdom and profound guests. You'll discover more about the spiritual movement and how it can work with you and alert you to problems you may not be aware of. It will educate, titillate, and enlighten your mind. Get Real Radio is broadcast live every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. This could end up being the best time of your week.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
You recognize that voice that you hear every week on my show, my announcer, Cooper Beckett. Well, he's my guest today because he does a lot of other stuff besides just recording those little outros and intros for my show. And he's written a new memoir, which is called My Life on the Swing Set. And we've been talking about swinging. I do want to address jealousy because I know you know this. It is the number one question you get asked about anyone, whether they are brand new, when they've never heard of swinging, whether they're thinking about it. Everyone wants to know about jealousy. And you, I think, have an interesting take on it and an interesting approach.
Well, initially, I thought jealousy was something that served no purpose, that it needed to be squashed completely. And so I worked really hard to do that. And unfortunately, you can't, because jealousy is a thing that exists. And ultimately, I realized jealousy is like the check engine light in a car. You know, the check engine light can come on because you didn't turn the gas cap enough when you put gas in your car, and that's nothing. And the check engine light can also come on when the engine is about to fall out of your car. And so really, you know, when you get jealous, you want to look at the jealousy and look at why you think you're feeling that way. And I realized when I feel jealous, most of the time it's because I feel left out, and not because I was actually left out, but because I didn't do anything to include myself in a situation. So the number one times I have felt jealous at the beginning was at play parties when everyone was playing and I was just sort of sitting in the corner. And it's no one else's responsibility for me to step forward and ask someone to play. It's mine. So when I realized that jealousy was an indicator, then I try to take a breath and look at what it might be indicating rather than, you know, buying a new car because the gas cap isn't screwed on all the way.
Right, right.
Which is a lot of the way a lot of people react to jealousy. It's one level and it's panic.
Yes, absolutely. They feel it on a very visceral level. And to be fair, you know, when I teach my workshops about this, I say we've got to break down jealousy into all these different components because it kind of manifests in different ways for different people. Mm-hmm. Some people feel envy. Some people feel possessiveness. Some people feel competitive. Some people feel left out. Some people feel afraid. Some people feel abandonment issues. And you have, so the way it manifests for you is, you know, realistically, one of the easier ways to deal with it, I think, the feeling left out part.
Sure.
But I think you also give a lot of insightful tips for people about how they might handle their own jealousy. Do you want to share just a couple of those?
I feel like I may be more insightful than I am at the moment. Really, one of the ways that I recommend people work with jealousy is, I mean, first of all, you need to get to a point of direct communication. When you're feeling jealous about something, say you're feeling jealous about it, but don't say accusatory. Just say, I'm feeling this thing. Make it the I statement. You know, that's a main function. And if you can do something to improve the way you're feeling, you should start by doing that. You should work to improve your situation, if at all possible. And sometimes it's not possible for you to work to improve your jealous situation. But sometimes you can also distract yourself from the jealousy. And the nice thing about jealousy is once you start to recognize what it is that jealousy says for you, and like you were saying, Tristan, what types of jealousy affect you, the more and more you work to mitigate those factors, the less and less you're going to feel it. It is an exercisable thing, you know, and that's where the word compersion comes in, because compersion is the opposite of jealousy, being happy for your partner being happy. And unfortunately, the compersion muscle is something that atrophies because we don't use it very much. You know, we're not trained to use it in our society. We're trained to be jealous.
We're trained to compete. We're trained to be jealous. We're trained to feel less than, yes.
And so as you work on that compersion muscle, and as you recognize that, you know what, my partner's having a great time tonight, and I want her to feel excited when I'm having a great time, so why should I give her any less than that? And I really believe that you should always give your partner more than you want, need, expect back. You know, it's not treat others the way you want to be treated. It's treat others better than the way you want to be treated. Because if everyone does that, think of the amazing utopia.
Think of it. So at some point, you began to sort of change your mind about where you were in this world of non-monogamy and what opening up meant to you. And you begin to explore polyamory. I don't know. Do you identify as a polyamorous swinger? Do you identify as both?
I sort of go back and forth. Okay. Sometimes it's poly with a side of swinging. Sometimes it's swinging with a side of poly.
Right.
And really, I believe that poly and swinging is a spectrum. And poly is this 10% way over here, and swinging is that 10% way over there, and everything else is sort of a shade in the middle. And so I vacillate between just on the poly side and just on the swinging side. And right now, I feel like I'm more a swinger that has some relationships. And in the past, I've been more poly that occasionally plays with people. And I think it's, what's awesome about that is I really feel like we fight our way out of monogamy, which is a big box. And it's so tempting to just put yourself in another box,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that box could be called poly
right.
or swinging and mm-hmm. come with its own set of rules and restrictions. And really, right. I think that we do ourselves a disservice to immediately lock ourselves down to something again. I love being able to, this week, I might go on a date. Next week, I might get together with someone and just fuck and have no emotional connection there. And neither of them are better or worse than the other. It's all about what I'm feeling, what they're feeling at the time. And that's really a great Zen-like way to move through non-monogamy.
But it raises this point, all of this sort of fluidity, about something you talk about in the book, which is changing dynamics in relationships and how scary that can be for people.
It can be. And that's one of the hardest things in non-monogamy, is because in monogamy, you are looking at the bigger picture far more, because if you're in a relationship, the bigger picture is the goals for that relationship. And the goals for that relationship usually are happily ever after forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're looking at that giant picture, then you're going to constantly be tweaking it as you go, because those dynamics need to line up. And in non-monogamy, you aren't as necessarily looking at that big picture. You're looking at, I'm having this thing with this person. And if it starts to change, it's not the end of the world. It's not, now I'm alone forever, which is what we think when we're monogamous and we might break up. Well, I'll never find love again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's more about willingness to let go of something. And the problem then comes up when I'm willing to let go of a sexual relationship with someone who's not necessarily willing to let go of that. And that can cause some significant dynamic issues. And that raises the, you need to talk early, talk often, and communicate the hell out of this thing.
So speaking of breaking up,
yes.
you're married at the beginning of the book, and you and your wife explore swinging, and it's really life-altering for both of you. And then you actually end up getting divorced.
Yes, we did.
So the obvious question is, did swinging cause your divorce?
No, swinging did not cause my divorce. See, the thing is, swinging solved a very major problem in our relationship. And that problem was we both wanted to fuck other people. And luckily, that's the kind of problem swinging can solve.
Mm-hmm.
The problems it can't solve is having financial disputes or not really liking each other's friends or not being interested in going to the same places when we go out. Those are fundamental problems. And ultimately, we realize that despite swinging giving us 4.5 years more in our marriage than we would have had otherwise, because we were literally talking about divorce before that, we didn't change those problems. Those were still there. What swinging did was it overshadowed them for a while and made them not as important because we were doing all these other amazing things together. And so it did definitely improve our marriage for a long time. Ultimately, though, when the dust settled, we saw the same issues we saw before.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, we made the very, very good choice to not be married to each other anymore. And we are both much happier for it. And so swinging, what it did was it got me to a point in my life and in the way I communicate and in the way I approach the world where I can have an amicable breakup and I cannot demonize her the way we are trained to demonize exes.
Mm-hmm.
And I can actually have a relationship where she and I talk now like friends because we were great friends for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We just were not great spouses.
Yeah, your breakup is just great role modeling for all of us, me included. Okay, we got to take another break. But coming up, we've got your questions. You guys have been very talkative on Twitter, and we're going to get to your listener questions. So me and Cooper tackling your issues when we come back.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Are you or someone you know interested in attending college? With both college tuition and college enrollment up 60% since 2002, there is a lot of competition, and careful planning needs to be a part of the process. Tune in to Getting In, a College Coach Conversation, hosted by Elizabeth Heaton and featuring a team of college coach experts. we'll bring you the tips, techniques, and know-how to navigate the road to college and do so the smart way. Listen live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Terramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to tristan@puckerup.com. That's tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. If you haven't already bid on my bra, you should go to Facebook. We're going to send out the link to the post where you can bid on my bra. And you get my bra, which has touched my boobs. And all the money goes to charity to the Center for Sex and Culture in San Francisco. So,
and I'm winning right now.
And right now, Cooper's winning with 110. But bidding closes at midnight Eastern time. So you have like 3 more hours. So let's get on it. Okay, we're talking to Cooper Beckett about his new memoir, My Life on the Swing Set, and we've got some listener questions for you. You ready?
I am.
Okay, this comes on Twitter from Polly Dallas 2015, which is the event I talked about in the first segment. What advice would you give a couple who is exploring going from a triad to a V for the first time when one partner is reluctant?
Oh, that's that changing relationship dynamics right there.
Right there, yeah.
Man, that's a tough one. Because if you're a triad, one assumes that you've got a really close three-way relationship. That usually, when people refer to themselves as a triad, it's fairly equal levels, wouldn't you say, Tristan?
Yeah, or equitable. I mean, you know, we both talk about the myth of equality.
Oh, yes.
Right, so equitable and... And so, but there's been some shift between two of the people here, right? So,
and I've been in a situation like that where I was part of a foursome, a couple on couple relationship, and then the dynamic shifted and I was sort of left out.
Mm.
And really what hurt me dramatically was that it just wasn't talked about. And as much as it would have hurt me to hear, I'm just not interested in you mm-hmm. anymore in that way, it would have been an immediate thing and it would have been done. And I could throw my little hissy fit and stamp my feet and then be a grown up. But because it was just sort of like the invitations were different and I just wasn't around and I just had to assume that I was being removed from the situation, that hurt a lot. So my first bit of advice goes back to exactly what we were saying before the break. Communicate constantly. Start this conversation. As terrible as the conversation will be, because it probably will be, it needs to happen and it needs to be had so you can all begin to heal from that wound. And then... quite possibly, you'll be able to keep the V going. But if you don't have a good, solid conversation, I foresee troubles bubbling and ultimately things falling apart.
Yeah, I mean, I think all three people are experiencing this change differently. That's what the interesting thing is too, because if the three of them were all involved with each other, there was a twosome, and a threesome. And now there's going to be a V. So it's going to shift for everyone. And I feel like everyone equally has to kind of talk about what they're feeling and be ready to grieve that loss for them, what it means to them.
And what the relationship looks like moving forward.
Right.
Because so often we, you know, when you break up with someone in a one-on-one situation, you can just never see them again.
Right.
But in a V,
you're going to
see
them a lot.
That person. Yeah.
It almost reminds me of... kind of like divorced parents,
yes.
and then one of the parents remarries, except yeah. they don't remarry someone usually that you have a relationship with. So, but I mean, sometimes they do, but okay. So another question comes from email from Kashka. What are some starting points for young poly people who have just started living together? Mm. How do we negotiate our other relationships and dating without upsetting one another or neglecting our other partners?
Oh, man. That's one of the big poly conundrums, isn't it? Because you have to sort of compartmentalize your time. And Kidder Caper from Sex is Fun came up with a term called creplets. And you have a finite number of creplets. And it's not just love, because love is infinite, but it's time, energy, space, all these things together. So you parcel them out. And okay, I have 3 days a week that I am going to spend with my primary partner, and 1 or 2 days a week that I'm going to spend with my secondary partner. And I'm using primary and secondary just as illustrative terms.
Mm-hmm.
I have forgotten myself when parceling out my time. You know, I've got 1, 2, 3 partners and there's the week. Oh, what about when I need time to myself? What about mm-hmm. when I need to work on my projects? Shit. Whose time does that come out of then? So it's, first of all, have a Google Calendar immediately and share it with everybody.
Yeah.
Because that's important.
Yes.
But it's going to be another case of give your partner the space you want to have. So if you decide that 1 night a week, 2 nights a week for other relationships together, you decide that that's a good number, then start with that and continually check in with your partner about, okay, how is this working for you, more or less? You're dialing something in. You're not turning it on and off. And what's going to happen when, oh, yeah, you know, we have that rule about don't make plans this week, only make plans for next week or beyond, but this secondary that never has time is free tomorrow. Well, then you need to decide what's more important. Is it the rule or is it the happiness? Is it you wanted to be doing this? It's a lot of dynamics to consider at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I would say two things. One is that you are living together and I would like you to talk about with each other, yourselves, each other, and your other partners, what that means. I do believe that living together has become this symbol of, okay, they're more serious, they're more mature, they're more committed, they're more in love, they're working towards something, whatever it is, right? I think there's all these assumptions. Well, let's not make them. Let's actually talk about why you've decided to living together and what it means to you as a couple. Does it mean a next step in seriousness? Does it mean a different kind of commitment? So I think be explicit about that. Let's not assume what that means. And then the second thing I would say is you have to be conscious of the fact that when you live with someone, technically you have, quote, more time with them.
Mm-hmm.
But that time can often be quite mundane. You can be brushing your teeth. You could be sleeping. You could be making breakfast. You can be paying bills. And so you have to remember that the person, first of all, that when other partners say, hey, but you had 8 hours with him, you have to, you know, voice the truth and the reality check, which is right. But really, we just had to mow the lawn, do laundry, and then I was out the door, right? Although if that takes you 8 hours, maybe you have a problem. okay, that's a bad example.
Big lawn.
But and so be cognizant of the fact that you want to make intentional time for each of your partners and for yourself, as you said, and don't sort of get lazy around the partner that you live with because they, quote, see you all the time. Because that time is not always intentional and mindful. Okay, we got one more question. Oh my gosh, except we are out of time. Okay,
that's a big question for
yeah. Oh my gosh, we're out of time. Okay. We're going to address that on the next show. That's what I'm saying to you, your question answer. Okay, but we're out of time. I have to tell people about your stuff, how to find you, all that stuff. I have to thank you for being on the show. And then
you're
we got to like skedaddle. Okay.
So we already got that covered.
Okay, good. Okay. So listen, Cooper wrote this great memoir. He self-published it. With actually, it's incredibly also beautiful, well laid out, really well edited and copy edited. I mean, proofread to within an inch of its life.
I need to give J.V. Althoros of Ending the Sexual Dark Age credit for that. He was my editor.
For reels, I always find mistakes, and I didn't find a mistake. Woo-hoo! Okay, so it's called My Life on the Swing Set, Adventures in Swinging and Polyamory, and you can find out more about the book, and certainly you should buy the book and review the book on Amazon. Go to mylifeonthewingset.com. You can also visit Cooper's personal site, coopersbeckett.com, and listen to his podcast and actually plenty of other great podcasts, which I know you'll love, at lifeonthewingset.com. So it's mylifeonthewingset.com and lifeonthewingset.com. You got that?
Yes.
And you're in the process of recording and self-producing the audiobook.
Yeah, it's going to be released on June 30th. And if people pre-order it, they can listen to the work in progress. And you can do that on mylifeonthewingset.com.
Okay, that sounds really fun. You can also follow him on Twitter. He's very active at Swingset Life and on Facebook as Cooper Beckett. You can always find me at puckerup.com and on Twitter at Tristan Taramino. And listen, as you heard at the top of the show, one of the things about not having advertisers right at this moment in the show is that I can announce all your great events and I can sponsor events and I can give you airtime. So keep that in mind next time. And if you want me to tell people about something you're doing, let me know. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, his second thank you of the day, Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, when my guest will be Bianca Loriano. Oh, and that's going to be a really good show. So until then, you can get us on Facebook.com/AskTristan. You can get me on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio. And, you know, this weekend when you're chatting, talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to VoiceAmerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.